This morning's message is Encountering God, What Have We Witnessed? God Opens Our Eyes. And this morning I've asked Andrew to come up and read the first scripture for us, and then I'll have a second to read, but Andrew's going to read the first one. It comes from 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13, so you can turn there and follow along.
The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel sought Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab. He had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then he had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent him and had him brought, and he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
Eyes opened. I need to have my microphone on. Samuel needed to have his eyes opened by God. He wasn't seeing things the way that God was. I'd like to read for you now another account from John 9, verses 1 to 41. Turn there if you have your Bibles open to this account of Jesus healing a man born blind. As he went along, a man blind from birth, as he went along, this is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went, and he washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbor and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I'm the man." "Now then, how then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man that they called Jesus made some mud, and he put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash, so I went and I washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees all also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's, and so they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he's your son, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why the parents said, he's of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and they said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. The Bible tells us that to be human is to suffer from partial or superficial vision. We don't always see right. We're often totally blind. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah is saying that we don't see things right. We don't understand things right. Even our own hearts deceive us. That verse is set in the context of God clearly laying out, of Jeremiah clearly laying out, these are the things, these are the ways of blessing. The man who does these things will be blessed. These are the ways of cursing. The man who does these things will be cursed. And in the midst of that, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful because often we choose the cursing side. Even though God's made it clear what leads to cursing and what leads to blessing, we find ourselves often choosing the way of cursing. Our hearts deceive us. Our vision is impaired. We don't fully see God's way of seeing things. Psalm 51, 5 and 6 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." And then in 1 John it says this, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him." The Bible talks a lot about our blindness, about our being in darkness. And Jesus said in the scripture we read this morning, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the one who helps us to see. He's the one who opens our eyes. We as humans need that. The darkness and our blindness is part of our fallen nature. And Jesus comes to open our eyes like he opened the eyes of the blind man. We need light. We need to find it in Jesus. So this morning I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about having our eyes opened, about God helping us to see as he does in both of these stories this morning. In the case of Samuel, Samuel needed to have his eyes opened in a new way. He wasn't seeing the way that God was seeing. In the story of the blind man and Jesus healing him, it's not only the blind man who needs his eyes opened. There's others there as well, the disciples and the Pharisees. We tend to say sometimes, suddenly, "I saw the light," or "the lights came on for me." Or sometimes we have this phrase when something finally comes to us, "Oh, now I see." Like we didn't see before, and now all of a sudden we do. We understand. We find the blind man here in John having a moment like that in verse 38 where he responds to Jesus and he says, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The lights came on for him. He was able to really see. He was able to see Jesus. He understood who Jesus was. And so while that was a moment when it all came together for this man, it was really kind of a process. This man was moving towards being able to see. It didn't all happen in that instant. Things had been happening beforehand which were opening his eyes. And so the first thing I want to say this morning is that often our movement to sight is progressive. Often our eyes are opened up through a series of events and encounters with God. And all of us have this need for our eyes to be opened in all sorts of situations in life. In verse 11 of John 9 here, the man identifies Jesus simply as a man by name. He says that it was that man named Jesus. It's about all he knows. That was his name, and he opened my eyes. Then in verse 17, he refers to Jesus as a prophet. One with special insight and power from God. In verse 33, he says, "This man is from God." You see, there's a movement. He's beginning to have his eyes open to who Jesus is. And finally, in verses 35 to 8, his heart is opened completely. And he comes to know that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus as Lord. He sees now. You know, not only physically, but spiritually, he's able to see. The eyes of his heart are opened. In the scripture that Andrew read for us this morning from 1 Samuel, Samuel is in grieving over Saul. You remember Saul was the first king that Samuel anointed, the first king of Israel. And Saul went the wrong way. He was disobedient to God. He didn't trust God. And finally, God said through Samuel, "The kingdom's going to be torn out of your hand, Saul." And so the last time that Samuel was with Saul came just before the scripture that Andrew read. And in that scripture it says that Samuel didn't see Saul anymore. They both went their own ways, and that Samuel was grieved. It had been difficult in the first place. Samuel had been the prophet for Israel. And so it had been difficult in the first place for Samuel to accept the fact that Israel wanted a king when Saul became king. But God had said to Samuel, "It's okay. and he had anointed Saul. And now this one that he had anointed had gone astray. And Samuel was grieved. I imagine he might have been asking, "Now what, God? What's going to happen with these people?" And so he's grieving Saul, and he doesn't see what God has planned. He doesn't see what God has in mind. And even when he meets Jesse's sons, he doesn't understand. He thinks, "Aha, the oldest son, he's looking good. This has to be the king." But he still doesn't see clearly. He's seeing things, God says, from a human point of view. And eventually God enables him to see that David is to be the chosen one. He's the one that's to be king, become king. And so he also has this progressive movement towards being able to see. So this morning, what I want to say is, wherever you are on a journey, do your eyes need to be opened? Is there something you need to see more clearly in your life? Whether you're just considering what it means to be a Christian, or whether you're just looking for some new meaning or purpose in your life, or whether you're struggling with some issue that seems like darkness in your life or in the life of somebody that you care about, don't give up on the journey of having God enable you to see the way that He sees, to understand as God understands. Continue to seek God. Continue to ask Him to help you to see what He's doing, to perceive the things the way God perceives them. Because often it's a journey, it's a movement towards having our hearts and our eyes opened. And notice in verse 35 of John, what happens? The man's thrown out by the Pharisees. What happens? It says that Jesus went and found the man. Jesus went looking. You remember, this man never saw Jesus. His eyes weren't open when he was standing before Jesus. Jesus put mud on his eyes, and then he sent him, still blind, to the pool of Siloam to wash his eyes, and then he could see. He had never seen Jesus before, though his eyes had been opened by Jesus. And now Jesus goes to find him. Perhaps when this man was wondering, what's going on here? This man opened my eyes. Nobody understands. Nobody believes. They've thrown me out of the synagogue. Jesus goes and finds the man and helps him to see completely, to understand who Jesus is. And so in this journey, this movement, not only are we seeking to understand, God is seeking us. The light of the world is coming to us to help us see. So don't be discouraged in that journey. I kind of wonder as we read about this man, whether he ever had the hope of seeing. Had he given that up? He was born blind. He never knew what it was like to be able to see. So perhaps he had accepted this is life. This is the way things are. Or perhaps he dreamed of being able to see like everybody else. Often in the darkness, we can't even fully perceive what it is to be missing the light, to miss being able to see. Sometimes when I'm traveling, we drive through an area and it's dark. I see the road in front of me, but I miss what the land looks like. I don't even know what I'm missing. You can drive through a beautiful area at night and not even realize it. You'll only realize it if you come back during the day and drive through that area. And so sometimes we need God to open our eyes. We need God to show us that we're blind or that we're in the darkness. Sometimes we're aware of it. I wonder about Samuel. Was he asking, now what? What's going to happen now? Jesus didn't even tell this man that he was going to receive his sight. Perhaps the man overheard the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. He's just sitting there blind. And the disciples start talking like he can't hear either. Who sinned? This man or his parents. So he overheard the conversation. Jesus says, neither of them sinned. This isn't because one of them sinned. He said this is for God's glory. So the man must have perceived something. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he expected to be healed. All Jesus did is he went over and he took some, made some mud with his saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. And he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. It's probably a good distance away. Doesn't say anything about Jesus saying, and you'll be able to see. He just put the mud in his eyes and said, go. Surely there was water closer than the pool of Siloam. The man could have done that. Instead, he walks blind through the city until he gets to the pool. And he washes his eyes, and he can see. He took a step of faith. Somehow, some reason, he trusted Jesus. And he said, okay, tell me to go and wash in the pool, I'll go wash in the pool. Seeing clearly is a venture in faith. God leads us along, step by step. You notice Samuel? I imagine he could have said to God when God said, go find Jesse. You're going to anoint one of his sons as king. He could have said, not again, Lord. We did this with Saul, and look what happened. He could have said that. He didn't. He said, okay. He did say, what am I going to do? Saul's going to try to kill me if he sees that I'm going to anoint a new king. And so God tells him how to take care of that issue. But it's a walk of faith for Samuel as well. He's going to go to Jesse. He doesn't know which son is to be anointed, but he goes. In your journey into light, into being able to see, in our journeys and having our eyes opened, we're going to be asked to take some steps of faith. We're going to be asked to put ourselves forward, to obey a command from God, to try something that's uncomfortable, to take a risk. It's important for us to all remember we all need light. We all have a need to move more and more into the light, to have our eyes opened more fully. All of us have that need. And that's going to be a journey of faith, a venture of faith, to have our eyes opened. Now, the other option that we have, instead of taking those steps of faith, is to refuse to see, to refuse to have our eyes opened. The contrast in the story of the blind man is the Pharisees. The blind man was physically and spiritually blind. He knew it. The Pharisees were blind as well, but they refused to see it. They refused to have their eyes open. They're blind. Jesus says in verses 39 to 41, and they can't be helped because they won't admit it. They won't admit that they need their eyes opened. You know what a blind spot is for a car when you're in your car? It's that spot where you look in your mirror and you can see the car coming up. And it gets to a place where you can't see it in the mirror anymore, but you don't see it with your eye yet either. It's in the blind spot. And if you don't know that you have a blind spot, you'll turn in front of a car someday and have an accident. If you know that you have a blind spot, you'll turn your head and check it before you move over. We have to know that we have blind spots. We have to know that we need our eyes to be opened. When we know that we have blind spots, we're humble. We're open to having them pointed out by God. The Pharisees were not open. They weren't humble. They didn't know that they needed to have their eyes open, that they needed to see in a new way. Samuel has his idea for a king and what he might look like, what he might be like. God makes it clear that the important factor to him is not physical appearance, but the condition of a person's heart. What's their motive? What drives them? Who do they aim to please? So God is shedding light where Samuel's not seeing clearly. And Samuel knows that he needs God's light. He knows that he needs to hear God's word. He's humble. He's able to receive this enlightenment from God. He doesn't say, "No, Lord, you don't understand. We need a big king. We need someone who's old enough to have some wisdom in their lives." He doesn't argue with God that way. He knows that he needs God to open his eyes. The Pharisees focus on Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, and they miss the amazing fact that he just healed a man who was blind since birth. They prefer the darkness. They call Jesus a sinner. The blind man says, "Just look at the evidence. Can't you see? Once I was blind, but now I see." We have that choice. The blind man was putting some faith in Jesus. He was moving in that direction. It requires faith on our part. The idea of light and darkness is found throughout the Bible. In Ephesians 5, 18 to 14, Paul calls us to live as children of light. We're to rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness, he says. We're called to expose our lives to the light, to Jesus. The things that we would not want God to see, we're to move away from. That's living life by faith. Moving away from the deeds of darkness to the deeds of light. God sees everything. Don't refuse the light. Let it expose the things of darkness so that we can complete our journey into seeing and into light. And finally, I'd like to say that when we encounter darkness, it's an opportunity to experience and be light. When we encounter darkness, or when we encounter not being able to see things clearly, when we encounter not understanding what's going on, it's an opportunity to experience and to be light. When the disciples encounter the blind man, they want to know, what's the cause? What caused his blindness? Whose fault is it that this man is blind? We often, when we encounter darkness or things that we don't understand, we respond the same way. Whose fault is it? Why did God let this happen? But Jesus tells the disciples here, that's not the pertinent issue. Neither sinned. The question here is, how can I do God's work? That's what Jesus comes to. He says, the time is short. Now's the time to be doing God's work. The question when you see a blind man is, what does God want to do here? What's God want to do in this blind man's life? And Jesus heals him. He opens his eyes. And so the question for us is, how can we do God's work here? How can I bring the light of God to bear in this darkness that I'm encountering? What does God want me to see right now that I don't see? This is an opportunity to shine. It's an opportunity for God to open our eyes, or maybe somebody else's eyes, in new ways. It doesn't occur to the disciples they may have something to offer this man. But we all bear the light of the world in our lives. We're to let that light shine. So it's an opportunity both to let that light shine, to help others to see, and to see ourselves when we encounter darkness or blindness. It's important to see what God sees. So in every situation with darkness, ask, how can I bring light here? And what does God want me to see here? What does God want me to see? How does He want me to open my eyes? Because we're tempted often to say, oh, I can already see. I see how things are. We're tempted to be like the Pharisees who didn't know they needed their eyes opened, or like the disciples who really didn't know either, that they needed to see things in a new way. So this morning, confess your need for the light of the world. Praise God that He's sent the light of the world, that He gives us light in darkness. Like the blind man, we can move from darkness to light. We can have our eyes opened. Jesus said, when He first started His ministry, He said, I came so that the lame can walk, so that the blind can see. And I think He meant more than just healing those who had physically blind eyes. The man knew he was blind. He knew he needed sight. And so this morning I invite you to let God open your eyes, to seek God opening your eyes, to trust Him to open your eyes. Sometimes it's a journey. It's a progress that happens. It requires faith on our parts to trust God. Let's pray together. And we're going to have an ending song, but I don't know if Luann's coming this way. I'm looking out there. Worship team, come on up. And the rest of you stand. We'll pray together and have a closing song. Let's pray. Lord, we ask this morning that You would enable us to see. Father, I believe there's things that happen in our lives. I believe there's things happening in our lives now that make it difficult, Lord. Things where we can't see clearly. We don't fully understand. We don't know what's down the road. We don't know why something may be happening. And so, Lord, I ask that You would open our eyes, that You would enable us to see. Father, I thank You that You sent the light of the world and that we can trust You. And so, Lord, we do trust You. We trust You to enable us to see clearly. Lord, even in places where we don't realize it, show us, open our eyes. And Father, enable us to be a light to those around us. Lord, when we see one who is in darkness, show us what we can do to shed light before them. In Jesus' name, amen.